Well, last week in the US was an interesting week in some of the comments that came through from the Fed, but also the way in which the data fell, which meant that those comments from the Fed look as if they've been overtaken already. We had the minutes of the last FOMC meeting came out last week, and in that, you know, the Fed said that the risks are now fairly evenly balanced in the US between, you know, recession and inflation. In other words, giving a pretty strong hint that, you know, we've got our rates at the peak, but we're watching both, you know, where there's the risk of recession, risk of high inflation. You know, the implication was we're still going to be on hold for a little while yet whilst we watch the data. Well, the data came in and it didn't look very balanced. It's sort of still leaning towards the high inflation side. We had the producer price index came out for the month of September. The headline on that for the month was above 0.3% expected, in fact it came in at 0.5%. The annual rate of change on that was expected to be 1.6% year on year. It was actually 2.2%, and that had accelerated from an upwardly revised 2% the month before. So you know, the pipeline is still showing above 2% for inflation down the track. Then we hit the CPI, and the CPI came in at 0.4% month on month. You know, the market was looking for 0.3, so it was a miss on the upside. And it meant that the annual inflation rate, rather than just edging down, which they hoped for, given that it'd been accelerating over the last couple of months, got stuck at 3.7% year on year. The other point about the month is, too, is if you take the 0.4% this month and the 0.6% the month before, and you're annualizing anywhere around there, yeah, clearly we're not going to stay down at 3.7. It's accelerating again, inflation, and it's starting to move higher. The core CPI, too, was stuck at 0.3%, same as it was the month before. So, yes, the annual rate there came down to 4.1 from 4.3, but you're annualizing well in the mid-threes, and, of course, that's well north of where the Fed needs the inflation rate. It's targeting 2%. Now, later in the week, you know, we had figures that went probably in slightly different directions. We had initial jobless claims, which were still on the side of a tight labour market, still pressure coming through, cost push style inflation coming through wages. Initial jobless claims were down at 209,000, the same as the week before. Yeah, down at that level implies that you're going to be getting non-farm payrolls, which are well into the 200,000s, if not the 300,000s per month. And when you're getting that, unless you've got the participation rate really flying higher, you know, the unemployment rate's actually going to edge down again. So you've got that pressure point there for wage growth running through the US. But right at the end of the week, it's probably to do with a lot of the sort of geopolitical uncertainty we've got around the world now, particularly in the Middle East. We had the preliminary October Michigan Consumer Sentiment Survey came out, and that actually was quite a bit lower than expected, 67.2 was expected. It came in at 63. That's down from 68.1 the month before. Now, having said that, you know, consumer sentiment surveys in the US haven't been doing a very good job of late of giving an indication of just how people are spending, because in the US they're very fully employed. Income is rising at around the pace of inflation, and so, you know, there's not those pressure points, and we're seeing still some pretty strong growth. So, but, you know, three out of four of the major groups of statistics we had out last week in the US still leaning on the side of inflation staying up rather than coming down. And, of course, the market started to bounce around that as we were getting through the later part of last week. Now, obviously, as we go into this week, you know, we're obviously watching what's happening in the Middle East. It's now at a very precarious position where, you know, we've got a ground offensive that from Israel moving into the Gaza Strip, and we have various other players who are watching to potentially come into this conflict if that happens, including Hezbollah in Lebanon and their ally, an important ally, Iran. So, you know, the potential pressure points looking ahead on global oil supply and what that might mean for oil supply prices at some point, that's another pressure point are just going to watch as we go forward. It hasn't been the case over this past week. If anything, global oil prices have come down a little bit, but yeah, the potential for supply to be constrained suddenly is pretty high. Moving into this week, we'll be watching some of the data again in the US, and amongst those, we get the latest retail sales numbers come out for the month of September on Tuesday. And at this stage, yeah, they're still looking pretty firm. We had quite big gains in retail sales and core retail sales going back to August, 0.6% month-on-month increases for both. We're looking at around about 0.2% increase for headline retail sales and perhaps 0.1. There's an expectation they may fade back a bit. But over the course of the quarter, we still had pretty strong retail sales growth running through the United States. So remembering that, you know, the whole point about monetary policy and what it's trying to do at the moment everywhere is suppress demand, particularly household spending demand. It's not really looking that soft in the US. Yes, another one of those factors which leans towards maybe the Fed's got more to do at some point down the track. We also get a number of housing indicators coming out of the US this week. And for the most part, they're looking okay-ish. We've got the National Association of Home Builders Index. That's lifted a little bit over recent months to 45. Looks as if it'll be around about the same mark. That's not an optimistic number, but yeah, it's not as bad as it was going back a month or two back. We're looking for a bounce in September housing starts when they come out on Wednesday. They were down 11.3% going back the previous month, but the market's looking for a 9.5% increase for the current month. And housing permits, but the opposite, they were up by 6.8% going back the previous month. They come back probably, we think, about 5.9% this month. We'll be watching initial jobless claims when they come out on Thursday. If they stay down around the 210,000 or less mark, still an indication of a very, very strong labour market. And we've also got Powell speaking later in the week. And, of course, it'll be interesting to see whether he provides any shift in what was said in those minutes of the last FOMC meeting. He can hardly shift it towards, we're doing even better, sort of getting on top of inflation. If anything, it has to go the other way. So this is where there's just these pressure points on interest rates still that have not gone away. Moving to China last week, and this is an economy which is still pretty soft, and it's reflected in things like their inflation rate, which is completely different from what's happening elsewhere, where inflation's getting sticky after it's been falling over the past year, and it's just got stuck and starting to show some signs of lifting again. In the case of China, it's still very, very limited inflation pressure. The CPI rose by 0.2% month on month, but the annual rate of change came down to zero from 0.1%. Producer prices in China are falling on an annual basis, not quite as much as they did the month before. The month before, going back to August, they were down 3% year on year. Reduced to about 2.5% down year on year for the most recent month. We also had their trade data, and whilst there's an improvement of sorts, they're still down, both exports and imports, on an annual basis. So exports down 6.2% year-on-year after being down 8.8% the month before, and imports down 6.2% year-on-year after being down 7.3%. So these speak of, you know, still fairly soft international demand for Chinese goods in total. You know, there's pockets of strength there in things like electric cars, but other than that, you know, this is pretty soft. And on the import side, still speaks of relatively soft demand. This week in China, we get a whole lot of data coming out on Thursday, and China's always the first major economy to produce its GDP numbers for the latest quarter, and we've got Q3 GDP coming out. It looks, market thinks, as if GDP rose 1% quarter on quarter after rising 0.8% quarter on quarter going back to Q2. That would actually reduce the annual economic growth rate to 4.4% year on year from than 6.3% year on year. 4.4% is pretty soft by Chinese standards. And if anything, in Q4 is going to be even softer than that. The sort of 5% target they've had for growth for this year looks as if it's still fairly much out. It's going to be very difficult to attain that. We'll get all the monthly data coming out, and October fixed asset investment spending, probably a sideways move on that, 3.2% year-on-year, the same as the month before. Industrial production was at 4.5% year-on-year, going back to September. Looks as if it's faded a little for the most recent month, to 4.3%. And retail sales, there was a bit of a lift to 4.6% year-on-year the month before. The expectation is that will settle back a bit to 4.5%. So none of those figures are looking particularly strong. People's Bank of China meets late next week too. They could tweak interest rates again. And all the time, we're looking to see whether there's going to be anything more significant in terms of government spending initiative to come through. It could happen, and if it does, then the market obviously will get a little bit excited about Chinese growth. But at this point, the numbers out of China are still of an economy which is struggling to gain momentum. Moving to Australia. Last week, obviously it was just sentiment indicators we had. So we had NAB September business sentiment, business confidence. Business sentiment, it's come down a little, but it's still pretty elevated at plus 11. It was plus 14 the month before. This reflects where business has largely been, and it hasn't been too bad for most Australian businesses. Business confidence, it's not strong, but it's above zero on balance. On revision, it was plus one. Going back to August, it stayed at plus one for the month of September. And October, Westpac consumer sentiment, the actual index is running at quite a low level. But after being down 1.5% month on month going back to September, we got a bit of a bounce in October, up 2.9%. So it's just not sort of that weak at the moment. It's showing some signs of resilience. And the major reason for this is that people are getting used to interest rates, and particularly whilst the RBA remains on hold. Talking of the RBA, we get the minutes of their last meeting, where there didn't appear to be too much change in the last policy meeting. The Reserve Bank is still worried that inflation, whilst it's coming down, is still too high, but they're monitoring economic data as it comes through, and monitoring that economic data is just putting them on the side of keeping things unchanged as far as policy is concerned. That's probably going to be the tenor that comes from the minutes, although that will distinguish our minutes from those of the Fed. The Fed's minutes last week were evenly balanced. We haven't got to that point here in Australia. There's still that legal sentence that inflation remains too high. So if we get any indications from the data that either inflation is not coming down quickly enough, or that we've got some too much pressure building through costs, particularly through a very tight labour market, that could easily tip the Reserve Bank towards tightening further. And the point about that is that it's not just going to be a tweak. If they do get to a point where they have to tighten further, it won't be just one interest rate increase. It could be two or three. That's typically if they make that decision that demand still isn't weak enough to keep inflation down and get it towards target, then they don't just hit it with one more quarter. Just watching the data very, very carefully. And amongst that, on Thursday, we'll get the latest labour force data. And this one, of course, went the wrong way as far as the Reserve Bank was concerned last month. It was way too strong. You had employment up 64,900 with the participation rate way up at 67.0% and the unemployment rate holding at 3.7%. The market thinks that we'll still get an employment rise this latest month, probably around 15,000. The participation rate holding up at that record high level, 67%, and the unemployment rate still holding at that 3.7%. In other words, there's no sign yet of much weakening occurring in the labour market, and the RBA actually needs that before it can be confident it's done enough to suppress demand, and that demand's going to stay suppressed enough in order that inflation, with all the different forces which are affecting it at the moment, can still work its way lower. So we really are on a bit of a knife edge there with the way in which we're watching this data. And what I'd say about it is it is leaning towards people becoming comfortable with the way things are. We're seeing it in the sentiment indicators. We're seeing it in the way in which people are more than prepared to bid at house auctions. It appears as if the mortgage cliff has turned more into a mortgage slope and that people are dealing with it fairly comfortably. Whilst that's comfortable in some ways, it doesn't bode well for keeping interest rates on hold. It leans more towards the Reserve Bank doing more at some point, but it may take a few months before they do that. Europe, not a lot out last week, so we had October Centix investor confidence came out. It's a little bit softer than where it was the month before, -21.9 from -21.5. And industrial production data, so just a little bit of information there, where down again for the most recent month, so we've been down 3 months in a row there for industrial production. It appears as if Europe's getting that much closer towards recession. This week, again, not a lot in Europe. We'll get revised CPI data later in the week. Their CPI came back a little bit for the most recent month, so watching that towards the end of the week. There's some trade data which is actually being reasonably firm, and also economic sentiment data which has actually been quite weak, so you've got a mix of this data that's been running through Europe. So things that you're watching this week, particularly watching the comments from the Federal Reserve later this week. Just watching that data run in the US too, it's just edging towards being the stronger rather than the weaker side. And watching the same here in Australia. We are on this knife edge of whether central banks can stay on hold, whether that is the peak of rates, or whether there's still some more work to do. Whichever way we cut it, though, the interest rate structures we've got at the moment, they haven't got an awful lot of potential to rally much whilst these conditions persist. At some point, when things really do slow, both for the US and here, and it requires a lot more slowing than we've seen in the data so far, you can get to that point where you start to get strong rallies running through longer-term interest rates in particular. The market's toyed with that from time to time the last month or two, but has bounced back towards even higher rates. And unfortunately, I think we're still in that regime for a little while yet.